It's 14 before 6 WWIB, 73 warm and humid, hot and sticky degrees for early in the morning. It's time for the best 5 minutes of the day. Dr. Jason Kanz, good morning, friend.
Good morning, Mark.
All right, let's
here
see.
Here we are back around to a Monday again, and I actually get to go back to work today.
Hey, so. All right. Good for you. Hey, a couple of things. First off, you know, sometimes people think that God is too busy. I've heard these lines, and I'm sure you've heard them, that, you know, God's got bigger things to worry about, like wars and famine. He wouldn't care about this, that, or the other thing. And sometimes they might say, whatever it might be. And I would beg to differ, and I'm just give a brief aside. My son got done with a job he's working besides here, and I picked him up. We're driving home, and I just kind of asked about the job, and as he shared about it, and he said, yeah, just kind of stuff like that. And I thought, I don't know if he realized it or not, but I'm like, as your dad, I love you, and I care about everything about you. And I think about Jesus in Matthew 7, though you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your kids. And I just think, I just beg to differ. I'm in the Francis Schaeffer camp. I believe that God is a personal, infinite God. Jesus said he knows the hairs on our head. He clothes the grass, for goodness sake. He feeds the birds. I think he cares about every detail. What say you?
Absolutely. You know, I think that sometimes we get into the mindset, or at least I do, of believing that God is tolerant of our proclivities, our individual thoughts and ideas. But it's not just that he's tolerant, but he actually loves hearing about them. And I know that for me, I've had the tendency to just kind of say, that's not something I need to pray about or talk with God about. But prayer is about being with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and again, I think it's as infinite goodness, he just delights to be in our presence.
Mm. Yeah, so good stuff. That's the case. Think about that. God is a personal, infinite God. And again, I love this idea of Larry Crabb from 66 Love Letters. As he talks about Psalms, he says, bring all of yourself to God always. So whatever it is today, take it. You can take it to him. All right. Yesterday was National Book Lovers Day. You posted about it. This is one of the many ways I know you're such a good fit for radio, because you love to do stuff like this. You love to self-reveal, don't you?
I do. I think sometimes people think that I maybe self-reveal too much, but I do love to kind of invite people in and see my life.
Does your wife Heather think that?
At times, I think
okay.
She does. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can be guilty. You know, it's funny. I think I can be guilty, and then I'm like, you push it further. You stretch
sure.
me. All right, so let's go through the 8 questions, and maybe we'll try to post this on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page for love to see our listen. I think actually at 7:45 when we've got it's Ask Us Anything. I'm going to throw this out to Caleb and Hillary. I think we should answer it, but I'll answer it with you. Here we go. A favorite fiction book.
I'm trying to remember what I posted. I think I said Hannah Coulter by Wendell Berry. Just a great, great, great author.
And I'm going to go with The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. That bus ride between heaven or hell. But that pains you to hear me say that.
That's my favorite book. Yeah. So, yeah.
But, okay. All right. But it's not your favorite fiction book.
Right. Well, notice I asked a favorite book.
Okay.
I didn't say the favorite or your favorite.
Okay, all right.
I think that I did that intentionally.
Okay,
so.
All right.
But
did you come up with these, or were these posts?
I did, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I came up with
those. Okay, you did. I didn't realize. A favorite nonfiction book?
Wholeheartedness by Chuck DeGroat. And that one might be accurate.
Okay.
Probably my current favorite nonfiction book.
All right, I'm going to go with 66 Love Letters and also Inside Out by Larry Crabb. A favorite author, I'm going to say Crabb.
Yeah, I think I said Richard Rohr.
Yeah.
When we were off the air, you said you were going to talk to Larry about it, and or that Larry was on the line.
Right.
And again, I don't know that Richard Rohr is my favorite author, but
okay.
He is a favorite. He's
a favorite.
Really
all right.
Appreciate.
I'm going to say, yeah, Brennan Manning also. I really like,
yep.
There's some stuff by him, and there's a lot of authors you could put there, right? We could go back and
yep.
forth for a while. A favorite genre? I guess I'd go nonfiction, but what for you?
Yeah, I think I said Christian spirituality. So
okay.
Kind of, again, those Larry Crabb, Richard Rohr sorts of things. So.
Yeah. Okay, we got a favorite series.
Wingfeather Saga by Andrew Peterson, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of those everybody should read.
I have not read that, and you speak very highly of it, no question. How many books are in that series?
Four.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what makes it so
targeted teenage preteen? So
what makes it so great?
He's just a wonderful storyteller. I mean, you see that in his music, but he's creative and funny and engaging. And honestly, I think at the end, it left me in tears. So,
A favorite quote about books?
Boy, I don't remember what I said. I think it was the Erasmus quote, which is, if I have money, I buy books. And if I have any left over, I buy food and clothing.
That's a great one. I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to go back to the early days of the talk show I did, Front Page. I had Elizabeth Elliot on. It was her quoting a guy named Larry Woywode, okay? And what he said was that television is the cyclops that eats books. Isn't that a great quote?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, and that's so true, isn't it? It's so true and sad.
And
finally, what are you reading right now?
What I'm reading right now is Learning to Walk in the Dark by Barbara Brown Taylor.
Okay. I'm trying to read multiple between Wholehearted that you mentioned by Chuck DeGroat.
Yep.
And that's probably topping the list. Life of the Beloved by Henry Now. I'm trying to finish that. So thank you,
There's
Jason.
Great books.
Good stuff, as
we'll
always.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. 72 degrees, WWIB, and on the lighthearted side, on a Monday, usually you hear sports and commentary this time, but we go to Michigan for counselor comedian Drew Frelick. And Drew, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
So anybody who embarks on stand-up comedy, let's be honest, somewhere along the way you wonder, am I going to make it big? Am I going to be the next Jerry Seinfeld?
Right?
You kind of toy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called delusion.
Right. No, and it's hard. The idea of going out on... it's one thing you sing a song, and a lot of respect to singers, but to go out there and to try to make people laugh, I guess you could use props, but it's a pretty challenging deal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It can be brutal at times.
Now, Jim Carrey is known probably more as a comedic actor, but I would imagine he did stand-up comedy along the way, right?
He did. Yep. He
okay.
Did.
So you're pretty well educated in the field. In fact, you were posting recently that I saw you sharing like a week ago about a member of the Black Panthers. You were like, was it Bobby Seale that he had done stand-up comedy?
Yeah, I was totally blown away by that. I was reading this book and it was like, I met this comic working and his name was Bobby Seale and he started the Black Panthers. Just the idea of that sounded so funny to me. Like, I'm sure most people are familiar with, like, the Black Panther speeches, and they go to Capitol Hill with their guns and, like, it's, just kind of...
Doesn't seem real comedic, yeah.
Right.
But the idea of what if you do reach the top, like a Jim Carrey, he kind of made fun of fame, and this is a clip that got shared on Facebook. I posted it yesterday. Here's what it sounds like.
Thank you. I am 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir. I dream about being 3-time Golden Globe winning actor Jim Carrey. Because then I would be enough. It would finally be true. And I could stop this terrible search.
I just think that's some really good stuff. I love to see somebody who is famous mocking it,
Right. It's kind of, there's a lot of truth to that, It's like every level you get to, you're always looking to the next level. And,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, I have friends in New York that they're on Conan. And you're like, wow, you were on Conan. They're like, yeah, but, I wasn't on Jimmy Fallon or I didn't, get a Netflix special or something like that. You're kind of always looking forward.
And
Jim Carrey obviously is at the top,
Yeah, exactly. And so I think for all of us, there's a great line. Chuck Swindoll has anchored our nighttime talk shows here for years, Insight for Living. But one of his many, many books, Quest for Character, and I'll never forget, he talks about, he breaks the book into two parts, guard your heart and give from your heart. But he has this memorable line where he's like, fame, fortune, power, and pleasure, that basically almost every temptation comes from those four. And so one of the four is this desire for fame. We talk about your 15 minutes of fame. And here's somebody who's pretty famous just saying it doesn't satisfy. It's not all that it's cracked up to be.
Right. It reminds me of the book of Ecclesiastes,
yeah.
You know, and
right.
I've heard kind of a preacher, he's kind of like the hillbilly preacher, I guess, you
uh-huh.
know? And he was talking about it, and he basically summed it up, you know, he was just like, you know, I got famous, and that didn't work, and I tried women, and that didn't work, and, you know, it's like, it's kind of the same concept, I guess.
See,
so.
I'll close with that. I love Ecclesiastes, and, and I think sometimes people, why is this in the Bible? It's just like, it tests out life and everything there is to pursue apart from God and finds it wanting,
exactly.
Finds it a chase after wind, which I picture this guy, and that's comedic. That's the Bible in comedy saying a guy chase. I picture this guy running across the stage chasing the wind. I mean, that's
right.
That's futile.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's, you could make Ecclesiastes into a comedy. Maybe that's
there you go.
A show idea or something.
Something to work on for this week. Thanks, Drew. Have a good week in Michigan.
You too. Take care, Mark.
All right, bye-bye. All right, it's kind of a staple. Monday morning, our first segment together, reconvening after the weekend, kind of recapping the past couple of days. Hillary?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. We did Friday night takeout. It was my weekend to choose.
Yeah.
So I just chose Culver's because honestly, I wanted shrimp. And Culver's actually has pretty decent shrimp.
Culver's has a lot of things that are like.
So, yeah.
Delicious.
Culver's for
the
dins
deluxe,
and game night on the patio Friday night. We
nice.
Ate dinner out on the patio and then had a game night. And then a friend of mine, you know, we kind of are in each other's bubble, you know, if you will. So we kind of spent a good chunk of Saturday together, went to Weaver's because we needed to go to Weaver's. I needed canning lids and such sundries like that. And just kind of did some bumming and whatnot. She came over for dinner. We grilled my husband, the grill master, fresh corn on the cob from a roadside stand. It doesn't get much better than that.
Sure.
Yum. And then yesterday was the Chippewa Valley Century Ride. Now, I have to be honest, you know, I've done the 100-mile loop. You have to train for that. Honestly, I kept thinking this thing was going to be canceled, so I didn't train at all.
Yeah.
So, whoops. Wasn't canceled. It happened. Yay. So, just did the 35-mile loop,
yeah.
Which was totally fine. It was a lovely day. I was very grateful that it wasn't, like, sunny, because it would have been really hot and challenging if it was sunny. Few little sprinkles. We kept thinking we were going to really get rained on, but never did. Wonderful event. It was like a little feeling of normal amongst so much abnormal, you know, and it was different, but yet we were still there participating in an event that we've done for years, you know, in a slightly different capacity, but it was lovely to get on our bikes and ride.
All right. There you go. Well, you know, I think my weekend was normal by 2020 standards because it was sickness and cancellations.
Yes.
So, there are a couple birthday parties that didn't get to happen because of sickness, including in my family. Cooper seems to be feeling a lot better, but running a temp. So, so you know what? We just had a real quiet weekend at home,
there
ran a few errands. But, so restful in its own way.
There you go.
Friday, grilled a couple of times Friday and again yesterday.
Nice.
And then Friday, you can rent now. Micon Cinema is obviously at their different locations in Eau Claire and Chippewa are showing older movies, but you can also rent a theater. Maybe you want a game or show a movie to a private party. You can do that for like $25 an hour. So our church did that for the Hillsong United documentary film, Let Hope Rise. So that was really interesting to get kind of the background and the story on the Hillsong Church rising up out of Sydney, Australia. And, you know, it's not just a church, right? It's a movement, and there's songs being sung by millions around the globe every week. So to get the background story on that was interesting. And then also my wife gave the message on Acts 10 yesterday at church. Did a great job. And so, you know, check that out on her personal Facebook page. I ought to share it on mine. I will today. So give that a listen as well. All right, it's the Monday Mailbag, and this is a new feature. We've added this at the beginning of the week. And at the end of the week, around 8:45 to 8:55, the highlights from the week, right? All right, this morning we go to a listener.
Yes, remember, your participation is vital at 715-396-1670, the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page. Ruth says, if you can live in a nonfiction book, what would it be and why? Now, that's a doozy because immediately I thought of all the fiction books that I've read.
I know.
But nonfiction?
Nonfiction. See,
straight
my
up
thing
difficult.
Is, if I'm not a nonfiction reader, I read fiction or I read more like personal growth and development stuff. You know what I mean? But I don't read like nonfiction.
See, I've loved some books by Stephen Ambrose about Lewis and Clark and various, again, he just writes, brings history alive. But so many of his books have to do with war that I don't necessarily want to like jump in and live there.
So
I think what I would have to say is I would like to go into the book by H.G. Kissinger. It's called Friday Night Lights, and it's the story of Odessa, Texas.
Yeah.
It's a football book.
Yeah.
And I want to be in that book, and I want to be the radio broadcaster for one of the winningest football programs in all time in Texas. So there you go. Found a way to make it related to sports.
How about you, Havo?
I guess I was thinking more of a movie than a book immediately, nonfiction. There was a one called The Paper by Michael Keaton and kind of the media world. So, you know, something like that, or like to be a reporter alongside Woodward and Bernstein tracking down Watergate, that would have been kind of interesting. So,
okay. Well, very good. Very good. So while we're on the topic, favorite fiction book? Mine, honestly, I'm a Steinbeck fan. I really love Steinbeck. So like East of Eden or The Grapes of Wrath, those are like my top two. Love them. Could read them over and over again.
There's so many. How do I decide?
I know.
There's so many.
Yes.
You go ahead, Mark.
I'm going to C.S. Lewis, The Great Divorce. This bus ride between heaven and hell, which makes the best case that heaven's available for all who would choose it. So
yeah, it's a good one. Caleb, are you still pondering?
I don't know. There's so many. How in the world could I ever figure this out? Which I know is a cop-out, but
that's okay. Favorite author? I've already covered that Steinbeck. And Steinbeck for, like, longer. O. Henry. I love O. Henry for short stories.
Yeah.
I'd have to go with Dickens and probably closely followed by Robert Louis Stevenson.
Oh, Dickens. I wouldn't have known. Like, Charles?
Yes.
Nice.
He was a mat. He never ever wastes a character, and it's such a picture of what God does in our lives too, because this seemingly insignificant character at the beginning of a Dickens novel will come back and have a critical role, and I love it.
Larry Crabb has been my favorite. I've said that a lot over the years, but Brennan Manning, have really enjoyed some of his books as well. Ragamuffin Gospel, Abba's Child. Let's do one more out of that. What are you reading right now?
I just finished a 1,200-page novel by Brandon Sanderson, book 3 of the Stormlight Archive.
Nice.
Because, yes, I'm a nerd, and I like fantasy medieval type of things.
That's okay.
And it was wonderful.
I'm reading a Brené Brown book right now, obviously, and I'm also reading a Jodi Picoult book. I like her novels as well, her fiction, back to the fiction thing. Yeah.
Now, so you talked about, you didn't think of, Brené Brown, I think of as nonfiction, but I guess that can be personal growth.
See, and I think that's personal growth and development.
Yeah. That's, I think, well, that's the genre. Nonfiction, so there's either fiction or nonfiction, but yeah, that would be another way.
See, and I view nonfiction as like a historic kind of, biography kind of, that's its own genre.
Well, you're probably right, because whenever we part company, you're
Did you know
right.
I used to work
like
in a library?
Much of the time.
When I was in college, I worked in the library.
Ah, okay.
So very categorical.
What are you reading right now? Chuck DeGroat's book, Wholehearted. Is really
good.
I was reading this short book by Henry Nouwen about Life of the Beloved, which is really good, but DeGroat's kind of captured my attention. So, all right, hey, let's close it out. It is banana split day, so three toppings you want on a banana split. I'll start, and let's just go around topping by topping. Number one, I would for sure, you got to have the chocolate sauce.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously, the bananas, the three scoops of vanilla ice cream are there.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Okay.
Chocolate sauce.
I would say, do I only get to pick one?
We're doing three, so
one at a time.
Yeah.
One in time. Okay, I would say marshmallow sauce.
I will go with the caramel then.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I've got the chocolate. Now I got to have the whipped cream.
Okay, I got pineapple on there. The little pineapple bits.
Yeah, I'm going to go with hot fudge.
Oh.
Number two.
Okay. So I would close it out with the cherries. Probably three.
Okay. I would say strawberry toppings.
So this is tough because one of my favorite ice cream mix-ins is cookie dough, but I don't know if that's going to go quite as well with a banana split. So I also will go with marshmallow cream as well.
There you go. All right. You can't go wrong there. WWIB on a Monday. So anyhow, fire off a question even today. We'll save it for next week on the WIB Wake Up Show.
So last week, the Roth family is in the car, taking a road trip, kind of just day trip kind of thing. And we're having some snacks on the road. My husband loves bugles, okay? So I picked up some bugles.
Gotta put them on your fingers.
Yeah, totally. Well, he was driving, but, you know, so he's taking, like, a handful of bugles, and he'll eat them. And then, like, he dropped a couple on the floor. And, of course, I look at him and say, this is why we can't have nice things, because that's what we do in our family. So he drops them on the floor. He reaches down between the console thing and the seat. And he reaches down and he pulls up a bugle and he eats it. I'm like, really? You're eating food off the floor now? Yeah, I am.
Sure.
All
clean
right,
car.
Fine.
Clean
whatever. Car. Clean car. Right. Remember that. So he eats more bugles. He drops more on the floor. He reaches down. He pulls what he thinks is a bugle up, goes to pop it in his mouth, then notices it is a deformed, crusty, long something. He gets this horrified look at his face. He's like, that's not a bugle. I don't know what that is.
On the plus side, he was keeping his eyes on the road up until that point.
He didn't know what it was. I suspect, and I'm not 100% sure, I think that it was a crinkle cut sweet potato fry.
Ooh.
I have no idea when we ate crinkle cut sweet potato fry.
He didn't eat that, though.
No.
Okay.
He didn't eat anything off of the floor after that. I don't know where it came from. I'm not even 100% sure that that's what it was, because it was kind of covered in some weirdness. It was bad. It was bad. And so, yeah, it reminded me of the time. But there was a time a couple of years ago where he was eating French fries, dropped one on the floor, picked it up, popped it in his mouth, only to realize that that was not the fresh, hot French fry that he dropped.
It was from another French fry excursion.
That was a fry from days gone by. We weren't sure how old that one was. That didn't go well for him. So,
Caleb, do you have any experience with this?
So, last Monday, I took a day off. We also had a daycation. But when I came back, I was more motivated than I am on most weekends because I had an extra day to the weekend. And so I took on a project that I'd been putting off for a while. I vacuumed out both of our vehicles. And you understand, I've got a shop vac, but I don't have one of those wide, sucky attachments.
Yeah.
I just have like the little like
tube.
Yeah, the little tube. And so it takes a long time. And when I go after a project like vacuuming out our vehicles, like I do a really good job.
Uh-huh.
Like
I
you probably
it.
Should pay me $99 for a detail
like
type of a job.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so it takes a good solid hour for me to vacuum out both of our vehicles. And the filth that is underneath my children's car seats and booster seats.
Yeah.
And so I don't especially love this job, and there's a reason I've been putting it off, but I wanted our cars to look clean and felt a little energized last week. So I get my car done, and then I'm working on our minivan. The angles are weird in the minivan trying to get in through the sliding door, and so I open up the back hatch. And in order to get far enough, because my kids sit in the back seat, in order to get far enough and clean all that, I'm spread-eagled, sprawled underneath the back seat, reaching as far
working
as
hard.
My six-foot wingspan can
yes.
with aforementioned tube from the shop vac. And while I'm under there cleaning up the filth and just kind of bathing in how messy our van had gotten, I found a Twix.
Like?
And it was unopened.
Ah,
and I'm like,
wrapped.
That's a dad treat.
It's a reward.
And so as I am submarining underneath the back seat, spread-eagled through the back hatch of my minivan with my sandaled feet kicking out the back, I enjoyed a little Twix underneath
okay,
the seat.
You didn't,
that made
you didn't even wait. You're just like,
no.
Wait, this now.
My daddy wants a treat now. I'd already been hard at it for a good 40 minutes or so. Then I found another one and I gave it to the baby.
Oh.
It also was wrapped.
There we go. Have you ever found unwrapped food?
Yes.
Yes.
And there have been times when I've eaten that, including one time when a friend from school during the school year was eating Starburst jelly beans
in
the front seat of my car. And then that summer, late that summer, because I wasn't quite as motivated in my college years, I was vacuuming out my vehicle and I found those jelly beans. You know what happens to jelly beans when they fall underneath the front seats?
No.
Throughout a summer full of heat, they congeal. And so all the sugar on them, like, kind of coats the outside. And I ate those.
Why did you eat them?
I didn't want to. I was poor in college. It's like, Starburst jelly beans are the best. I didn't want to waste them.
Strange but true eating story.
At least now I only eat food when it's... No, that's not true either. It depends how old it is. If it's a really warped and twisted French fry, I probably won't.
I mean, you've lived to 33.
So far.
Hasn't killed you.
So what is it with you guys? So
bring it on,
bad.
COVID. I built up my immune system somehow.
Nothing's getting through that.
A lot of us are taking pictures of our kids these days, as we always have. But here's some interesting tips from a pro for taking pictures of your kids. This is a top photographer who took pictures for the royal family.
My thing is that my kids are always moving. And so, like, I take those mental images, those mental pictures where it's like, I want to remember this snapshot.
Yes.
Because all I'm going to get is a blur on my phone.
Right. There is that. So here we go. For a good portrait, always stand the subject in the shade and avoid the bright sunshine.
Okay.
So easy peasy. Be aware of your background in your picture. Brick walls don't photograph well. Stand the subject in front of a cleaner backdrop and move away any like dust bins or eyesores out of the shot.
You can tell he's British.
I know.
Move the dust bin.
Bins. Yeah, there's more in there than dust, buddy.
The crumpets.
Yes. It says, if the weather is bad, make it a feature of the photo. For instance, have them laughing under an umbrella.
Okay.
That'd be cute.
Sure.
Yeah. Have them reasonably close to the camera and the point of focus. Just give a hint of something behind them. I never think of getting that close to my kids. I mean, you know, for pictures.
For pictures, yeah. Because usually it's further away. But yeah, you get a lot more of the emotion in the face.
Yeah. And here's another one. Like earlier we had said to stand them in the shade and avoid bright sunlight. It says if on a sunny day, it's better for them to have their back to the light because that'll help with stopping the squinting too. That's the same thing about having, you know. For good pictures of kids, always get down on their level.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that because the best pictures that we've gotten, usually Lindsay's better at this than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But for instance, you know, the toddler stands at a different level than the 9-year-old, than the 5-year-old.
Yes.
But yeah, when you are down on their level, it's
a
just,
better
it's
shot.
It's better angle and they just seem to respond better.
Right. Don't worry about whether or not your camera is good enough. Some of the best shots in history were taken with very simple equipment.
Yeah.
So... there you go. Good, because most of mine are camera phone. camera flash only travels about 10 feet, so make sure your subject is within that distance. I see that happen all the time, where people, like, use their flash, and the person's way far away. It's like, it's not going to help. It's actually going to make it worse. So,
I just think about how blessed we are now to be able to have digital photography and in the palm of our hands on phones. Because of all the pictures, we had those old cameras that were roughly the size of an 8-ounce block of cheese.
Yes.
And it's always, you get them developed several weeks later, and then it's like, oh, so-and-so's
head got cut off
by the picture.
Yep.
It's part of the fun.
Are your fingers in there?
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.